Praise the Lord. I want to continue with our series on character, ability, and productivity. And I want to dwell now in the region of the ability that God gives and that we develop. And I want to speak on being diligent, And to define diligence, we could say this, that it means a perseverance or a persevering application. A persevering application to the matter on hand. In other words, we have to apply ourselves. Now, this virtue of diligence, this ability to be diligent, of course, brings great rewards. And we are told in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4 that, in effect, the diligent shall indeed be made wealthy. And those with diligent hands, well, they shall have substance. The diligent man shall stand, not before mean men, but before great men. In other words, diligence is going to make us wealthy. It is going to make us, if I could say this, people of note, people that will be recognized, and also it will bring much eternal gain. So we want to have a look at the thought of diligence. Now, one thing that's very important indeed in life, and it is of extreme importance, and you must listen very carefully to this. To be diligent is to apply oneself to the matter at hand. But I'm going to ask you this question. Is it not also very important indeed to determine what we should be diligent in? You see, if I'm diligent in woodwork, I would perhaps produce this pulpit. See, on the other hand, perhaps my desires lay towards model railways. And if I'm very diligent in that, I produce a nice model railway. If I love sport and I diligently apply myself, I might be a sportsman of note. You see, whatever you, if I could say this, determine to do, and you are diligent at it, you will succeed in that area. Now I ask you, you know, is it not important, therefore, to first of all determine what path we are going to walk in, what path we are going to be diligent in, because we're going to apply all our efforts, and if we apply all our efforts in that area, we shall be successful in that area. But the question now comes, if I choose an area that is not going to be of eternal worth, then is my diligence going to be rewarded? Perhaps on this earth, yes. But I want to look further than that. I want to look at eternity. What I apply myself to, I must be very sure that it's the right thing to do, because in putting all my efforts and all my strength into that, I'm going to succeed in that path. But is that path going to benefit me eternally? Now, I know many of you, you know, are contemplating, well, at least a number of you are contemplating the ministry. Now, the ministry is very interesting indeed, because in the ministry, you are going to meet people in many spheres of life. And they are going to come to you for counsel in their particular sphere. In their particular sphere. In fact, the sphere of operation in their life is going to color their conversation, is going to color their thinking. Now, how will you relate to that person if you know nothing about what they're talking about? You know, before I started writing, I had authors coming to me, talking to me about their books. But I could not relate to them because I hadn't written one. And when I'd written one, then I understood what they were talking about. Now, in one sense, in the ministry, you must have a very spatial vision. You must have experience of many areas of life. Otherwise, you cannot help a person. You know, I've been in many situations in my life, and at times I wondered what I was doing. But later on, I could draw from what I had been doing to enable me to minister more effectively, to enable me to illustrate situations that people could relate to. Whereas if I hadn't passed through that area, I would not have been able to do so. Now, you know that one of the areas I had to go into was research. I must confess, I can't remember a thing that I learned. But it gave me a discipline. It gave me a discipline because in research, you always look to the source. You always look to the source. And you know that's been a tremendous blessing to me in my life. That when people talk to me about things, I sort of say, well, let's go back to the source. Let's go back to the beginnings. Like in the Word of God, you see, everything really has its answer in the book of Genesis. It's the book of beginnings. You can almost find the answer to everything there. It is the book of beginnings. And you see, studying research, you see, taught me that. And although I can't remember a thing I learned, you know, and was engaged in, it doesn't matter. It taught me something. It taught me a discipline that has benefited me throughout my life. You know, another thing, I had to be a hotel director. Well, you know, a hotel director must know something about everything. Mercifully, he doesn't have to do it. And I had to know about cooking, but I didn't have to cook, and so the guests were spared. But I had to know about it. You see, I had to understand the cooks. I had to understand their frustration. I had to understand why it was so important to bring the guests down at the appointed time. If not, the meals would be spoiled. Little things like that. And then how to meet people, which was very important indeed. You know, I had one position once where I had to meet the top people in every kind of business. And it was very interesting. Very interesting. Now then, what I'm saying is this, that in one sense, you know, to enter the ministry, you have to know a lot of things about many aspects of life. But to put my whole energy into something, I've got to be very sure that that's what God wants me to do. That's what God wants me to do. Where have I to devote my time? Where have I to devote my energies? What is going to bring eternal fruit and a blessing to other people? Now then, I have to be very careful about computers, because you see, I could easily get wrapped up in computers. I don't touch them, except to ask, do I press this key or that key? But the thing is this, if I got myself absorbed in computers, I wouldn't be doing what I should really be doing. You see, my brother had a certain government position, and in that government position, he was responsible for about 358 people. And they were scientists, and they were in research and so forth. And I said to my brother, however did you come to the head of that department, not knowing, you know, all these aspects of science? And he said this. He said, the top man is the administrator, not the scientist. In other words, the administrator guides and focuses all those people to indeed accomplish a certain, shall I say, plan or situation. And he said, they knew everything about their particular sphere. He said, I didn't. But I said, I didn't have to. I had to control them and bring to pass, you know, a situation that the government wanted. The administrator is the top man. It is the one that can guide people to indeed accomplish what, of course, in the ministry, God wants. You see, and in the ministry, really the top position is the ability to guide people, put them in their course, and ensure that they are diligent in that particular sphere and they don't proliferate too much. You know, knowing a little about a number of things is fine, but you've got to be careful that you don't major in a minor. Now then, I want to look at this thought of diligence. See, first of all, we have to understand life. We have to understand life. We obviously have to understand a little about many things, especially in the ministry. Otherwise, you cannot relate to someone. And also in the ministry, you have to control many situations. You have to know something about building. You have to know something about the land. You have to know something about a lot of things. You don't actually have to dig. Somebody else would do that, but you have to tell them where to dig. You see? And these things are very important indeed. We have to understand it. On the other hand, God has to run his kingdom. And he has to have people that indeed will know how to dig, will know how to build. That is their God-given, if I could say that, career. And one has to apply oneself diligently. Now, we are very blessed in Burkina Faso. We have a Burkina man there, by name of Jacques, who absolutely knows construction. Not only does he know construction, but he knows many government heads and many pastors. And that gives him the ability to enable us to have all the permits we need to build. That is his job, you see. But we have to direct him. Otherwise, he might build something we don't want. And so, you see, what I'm saying, this thought of diligence, effort, application, must be in the field that God has chosen for you. And in the ministry, you do need to know a lot about a number of things, you see. But you mustn't give your heart to it. You mustn't give your heart to it. You must say, yes, I must know something about this. I must know something about that. And one of the things that I learnt in reading the life of Albert Einstein was this. That Albert Einstein says, the intelligent person is not necessarily the person that knows everything, but the person that knows where to find the answer. Where to find the answer. Where to find the answer. You don't need to have all the knowledge stored in here, but when you need to know something, you need to know to whom or to where you should go to find that knowledge. Now then, let us look, therefore, at some of the, shall I say, courses, slots, that God has chosen for people. Ruth, as we commented on in a previous lecture, her job in life was to love her mother-in-law. And Naomi seemed to have been a very wonderful mother-in-law, and Ruth accomplished the purpose that God had for her, and she was hard-working, she was industrious, her diligence was indeed well rewarded. It was noted by Boaz, whom eventually she married. And Ruth accomplished God's purpose. What was it? To look after her mother-in-law. Look after her mother-in-law. Abraham, you know, Abraham, what was his job in life? Well, his job actually was to produce an heir through a miracle. And then it was to bring up his household in the way of the Lord and to be willing to put everything on the altar. Now, how do I relate this to diligence? Well, Abraham, when he was told to offer up Isaac, he rose up early in the morning. He knew what he had to do. He immediately rose up early to do it. He applied himself with diligence. The same can be said of Joshua. Now then, you know, when you're young, and perhaps when you're older too, you have role models, people that you look to for guidance, people that you admire, people you want to be like. Well, when I was a teenager, I was in what is called the Boys' Brigade. It's similar to the Scouts, but it's more Christian-orientated. And My uncle was, I think, the deputy commander of this particular squadron of the boys' brigade. And so he ensured that I enlisted. So I was a boys' brigade. I was in the boys' brigade. Well, the top rank that a boy could achieve in the boys' brigade was that of top sergeant. And there we had a fellow called Maurice Connolly, who was the top sergeant of our squadron. And we all looked to him. He was a wonderful role model. He applied himself with diligence to the squadron. He applied himself with diligence to accountancy because he was training to be an accountant. But one thing I remember about him was that he was going on holiday. And I said to him, "Oh, a wonderful time to sleep." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I'm not going to waste my holiday by sleeping." He said, "I am going to get up as early as I possibly can so that I have a full day. Every day of my holiday, I'm going to have a full day. I'm going to make the most of it." And really, that categorized his life. He was going to make the most of every opportunity that was presented to him. And we all admired him tremendously for that. You know, one of the things that we note in the Word of God is in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 18, it was when they were rebuilding the temple, the workmen were diligent. You know, when you're doing something for God, you have to be diligent and apply yourself to it. It is noted in Scripture if a person was diligent concerning the work of God. But here is something that I want to give to young and old alike. And that is found in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 8 and verses 14. And this is something that you need to learn in life. The wise receive commandments. The wise receive reproof. The wise receive direction. The wise listen. Do you know one of the most important things in life is not talking, it's listening. You know, when you're talking, you learn nothing. When you listen, you learn quite a lot. And the wise receive commandments. The wise receive commandments. And then what do you do with that which you have learnt? Well, in verse 14 of Proverbs 10, and I'm paraphrasing this, the wise store up knowledge. The wise store up knowledge. Now you'll notice that most of our pastors have some form of notebooks and things like that. You know, they jot down those things that they have learnt. And we have sought to put them in book form now, and we've, I think, got 87 books from Zion. 87 books from Zion. That would last you, if you're a teacher in a pastorate, that would last you about 8 years teaching every Wednesday. You see, we've stored up the knowledge that God has given to us. We've reproduced it in book form with the help of many others. And so it's readable, it's easy to assimilate, it could be savoured, savouré, as the French say. And so it is given to others. You see, Richard Nixon said this. Now he had been a he had been in the Navy, Lieutenant Commander, he had been a congressman, he had been a senator, he had been a vice president, and he had been a president. Well, he said, after he retired or resigned from office, you know, he wrote books. He wrote about 9 books. And those 9 were bestsellers. But he said the most difficult thing in his life was writing those books, because he had to apply himself to sitting down. He said, to write, you have to sit down. And he said, that was the most difficult thing, to apply myself diligently to writing those books. But he wrote 9 bestsellers. Well then, you see, the point that I want to bring out is this, that we have to realize that we have a mission in life. What is it? To be a carpenter? Then we must apply ourselves to being the best carpenter we can. A friend of mine had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ the last day in the carpenter shop. He had finished, I think it was a table, and he had folded his apron, put his tools away, and he had one last look at that table, and he was satisfied that it was a very good table. You see, everything we do for the Lord. We've got to determine what the Lord wants us to do. And knowing what the Lord wants us to do, we have to apply it with diligence. But the point that I want to make out, especially to the young, is this, that if we apply ourselves to something that God has not ordained, all our diligence, all our application will be wood, hay, and stubble. What does God want me to do? Now, we have to learn a lot of things, you see. But what I'm getting at is this. What is the main course for my life? What is the main thing that God wants me to apply myself to? What is that which is going to remain after all the other little twigs, the other little branches have been removed from our vine so that we produce the fruit that God wants? What is the main thing? You know, in college, there comes a moment when you are confronted with a question. What is your major and what are your minors? The minors should enhance the major. You see, well, that's college for you. And you know, as you study the great men in the Bible, their secular training prepared them for the ministry that God had for them. And I must confess that, as I said, I was attending a college course once, and I even forget the subject. That's not unusual for me. But I do remember what he said. He said, I was 10 years in mathematics, and he said, I switched to this subject, and he said, I've forgotten all the maths I ever knew. Well, there we are. You see, it's true, I've forgotten all the research I ever knew, but I retain the one thing that was so important for me, you see, and that was the ability to go to the source. Now I'm going to tell you, as we close, the thing that is most important for each and every one of us to give diligence to. And it's found in the writings of Peter. And in 2 Peter, we find that the apostle there is telling us what is important in life. And so in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you know, you shall never fail. You shall never fail.
Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And how can we sum that up? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us the steps that we should give diligence to. Our faith, virtue, and you know, for the young, it is so important that you watch sexual morality, because so many have blown their lives because of immorality. And knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of God's ways, temperance. You know, what we allow ourselves and what we do not allow ourselves. And patience or endurance. And goodness, godliness or goodness. Brotherly kindness and then faith. You see, if we will do these things, if we will give diligence to those things, we shall never fail. We shall never fail. And so, as we come to a close, you know, let me reiterate the things in life that are important. Obviously, character is the most important, and we have to apply ourselves to those things that are important in life. You know, I have noticed that some young people say, well, I want to get into the ministry and so forth. Yes, there's a lot of preparation for the ministry. A lot of discipline that is learnt in the secular life. You know, one thing in the secular life you learn is discipline. It's discipline. Application. Diligence. You learn something else. Obedience. In the secular life, you know, you are taught to obey the one above. I've noticed those that have not gone through secular employment are not good at taking orders, which is an essentiality of the ministry. You take orders from God, which comes so often through people. And you know, one thing in the military is you never question an order. You just say, yes, sir. Well, there we are. Minor on the minors, major on the major. And if I could say this, the minors are like, shall I say, leaves that surround the flower. They're very important. You know, if God leads you through something, you say, yes, Lord. You know, I had to go and learn to sell. Well, it only lasted a few months, but I tried to apply myself to learn all the rules of selling. And I found afterwards it was a great benefit in the ministry. I had to learn to cook. I'd learn to run a hotel. Without it, I don't think I would have been able to run this place or understand how to run it. She runs it, but I just say yes or no. But the thing is this. The important thing is this, that God is preparing you for something, and you must be careful. Those minors are very important indeed. They add something. I was an inspector once, you know, in some firm, just for a few months in between school and going to the mission field. But oh, it taught me the importance of detail. The importance of detail. The importance of detail. These little things, seemingly, oh, I don't want to worry about that. I don't want to be encumbered with that. No, but be careful. Those miners are leaves that protect the bloom and flower of your ministry. Well, in closing, another thing is that you must be diligent. Diligent to look after and see to the state of the work that God has entrusted to you. You must always check, 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 and be diligent to check, to find out if somebody did what you told them to do. It's very important. Well, I leave you with these thoughts. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. As Ecclesiastes says in chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand seeth to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever God puts before you to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your diligence. Because I have learnt from people who are presidents of company. They have told me this. They said, the people we promote are the people whom we give to sweep the floor, and they do a good job. And they that do a good job when nobody's watching, sweeping the floor, we know that they will do a good job as we promote them and train them. And so, be faithful. Be diligent. Because in being diligent in what God gives you to do now, you will be equipping yourself for the future. And you will be making the way, you see. He that's faithful and diligent, shall I say, in the natural, is going to be given the spiritual. And so may God grant that each and every one of us will be diligent in the field that God has appointed for us now. We will do it with all our heart. We'll be industrious. We will apply ourselves. And we will make the most of the opportunities that God gives, that we learn what lessons we have in the thing that God has given us to do now, because later on it will be a little leaf that will indeed protect our ministry. God bless you.